I'm having my my ginseng and a ginger in my Dreamliner. Boeing 787. That's the Dreamliner. All right. So we're going places. That's what Jesus said, right? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, I'm going. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going. But you got to get ready. If you're going to go, you got to get ready. With Jesus, you got to get ready. So anyhow, today, Missionary Prize, once again, Missionary Prize, Missionary Aid International. And today, it's an association with the Church of Jesus Christ, not the Mormons, but the Church of Jesus Christ, Star of Bethlehem, Ministry of the Body of Christ. Wow, that's a long name. Anyhow, this is with our brothers and sisters in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. That's why I got my Haiti hat on. But I can't wear it the whole video because it's blue. And blue doesn't work well with the video, with After Effects and with the green screen. So blue screen, green screen, you'll see right through my head. So I can't wear it for the whole video. But I wanted to show it to you guys. Haiti. See? Haiti. Haiti. All right. So this is with our brother, specifically with our brother Franco Joseph Charles, and I should have got a picture of him and put him up on there. But anyhow, this guy has been patient with us, and he's been waiting for this for a couple months. And anyhow, we finally got David drove in from Belleville this morning. So Franco, thank you for your patience, and look forward to working with your five churches and in Haiti. So, this is the teaching. It's a great teaching. It's a great subject. And this is just in a nutshell. I don't have time to unpack it today. It's going to be a long way. I'm trying to get through it fairly quickly. So, this is called the three realms. The three realms. There's three realms with God. And basically, there are three invisible realms. And the first one, number one is, we got on the screen there, we have the Garden of Eden, which is the original, the new creation, the original creation, which connects you with the new creation. We don't have really time to, well, I'll unpack that a little bit. And then we have, number two is the kingdom of God, the reign of God, the dominion of God. And number three is being seated at God's right hand of majesty in heavenly places. Regarding what? Regarding these three places, regarding what? The authority, the dominion, the power and strength that we have, that we, the church, God's children, that we have in our union with who? With Jesus Christ, who is our second Adam, the last Adam. That's exactly who he is. That's what he is. He's a lot of things. He's Savior, he's Lord, he's Messiah, he's Jehovah, the whole thing. But in especially in his humanity, because we're humans, he is the second Adam. And that's what it says in John 1:14. And the Word, God the Word, became flesh. He became Jesus. He became the second Adam, the last Adam. He became God's firstborn from the dead, from this new creation. He's the first to be born of this new race, okay? And I'm trying to stick to my notes. Okay, let's move on here. So let's start with number one. Let's start with number one. The Garden of Eden, okay? The Garden of Eden, foundation, I wrote here, the foundation of the original as well as the new creation, all right? So let's look at here Genesis 1, 26 to 28. 26 says, God said, I'm moving around too much here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I'm still blurry.
Put your hand in the camera? Okay, there we go.
Okay. God said, let us make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them, see how you went from let us to let them, very interesting here, let them, who mankind, have complete authority over the fish of the sea, etc., over all the earth. Well, the heathen got a hold of that, but the church hasn't gotten a hold of that yet, but we're going to get a hold of it, and over everything. So the key word, the first key word here, I'm just going to mention the word, and we're going to skip to the next teaching because it's going to be too long. So the key words here is the word image, okay? The word image, and we've got these words on screen, but we're going to have them on the video too. So the word image, very interesting and very key also. But also the other key word here is the word likeness. We're created in God's image and likeness. So what part of us was created in God's image and likeness? It's our spirit. We're spirit beings. What you're seeing now, this me and my hair, my shirt and my this thing that's going to come off in a couple days, and my teeth that are not the best and because of the neglect over the years and all that, that's not the real me. That's just not the real me. The real me, you can't see me. It's the spirit of man. You know, when I see you, I just see the carcass. I just see the carcass. I see the shell, the outer shell, the earth suit. Gloria Copeland called it the earth suit. I like that. You know, you got a space suit, you got a swimsuit, you got an earth suit. We got a suit to walk around this earth. What part of us to get around? The spirit and the soul of man. But the part of us that was created in God's image is our spirit. Okay? We got to move on here. Because God is spirit. Jesus said God is spirit, right? So, key word here after this is let us versus let them. I already touched on that, okay? Very interesting here. It does not say that God would have the dominion over mankind, nor over all the earth. Going back to God's sovereignty versus man's free will, free moral agent, all right? No, he gave man the dominion, all right? Now, not to exert that dominion on his own, no. My goodness, look at what we're doing on our own. We made a mess of things. Yeah, including the church. You know, no, we're supposed to do things by the Spirit. You know, everything that the Bible teaches, the New Testament concerning Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. You know, and all those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, right? Or all those who are habitually led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's sonship. That was for back in the garden. That was for Adam and Eve. That was for all of us. But we didn't do that, right? We ate from the wrong tree, the tree that we're not supposed to eat from. We ate from it. Yeah, well, we certainly weren't led by the Spirit, but he was trying to lead us because he warned us beforehand. Anyhow, we got to move on here. So, key word here is complete authority. Complete authority. All right? So, let's move on here. Complete authority. We have the complete authority, not just some authority, but all of it. He's given it to all of us that he's delegated us this authority that we would steward it on this earth, but with his help. With his help. All right? God never said, man, you can do whatever you want with my dominion, with all my reason. No. That's not what he had in mind at all for mankind. My goodness. Okay, so verse 7. So God created man in his image. So God created. Three times in verse 27, we got the word created. Three times. God created man, created him, man, male and female. He created them. Created. All right? So if you think that we came through evolution or we came from some other's planet or something like that, no, we were created. We are created beings by God, the God of the Bible, to the Holy Bible. All right? So, key word here is the word created, all right? It's the word bara. Well, I don't have time to get into this. We've got to move on here, unfortunately. It's a long teaching. So, I wrote here as a note. I said God repeats himself, okay? God repeats himself a lot of times, but he's not redundant for the wrong reasons. It's for the right reasons. On purpose to let us know that he himself is the creator of man or of mankind. He is the creator. Without the creator, without God, we would not exist, okay? And if you don't believe that, that's fine. That's your business. But you're going to have the rudest of the rudest awakenings when you die, because you're going to come face to face with your creator. And you're going to have to give an account. You're going to do a bunch of boo-hoos. You're going to bed. You're going to beg him. And all that, and none of it's going to work. And your works are going to be, you're going to be judged for your works. And then it says in Revelation 20, you're going to be hurled into the lake of fire for eternity. Okay? But you don't have to go into the lake of fire. You don't have to go there because of what Jesus did at the cross. So, also repeating himself regarding having created man in his own image, we are spiritual beings first and foremost. Going back to what I said, we are spirit. We are a spirit. We don't have a spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in this body. We live in this body, okay? We live in this physical body, all right? So, let's move on. Verse 28. God blessed them. Wow, blessed. We blessed them. God blessed them, said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Fill the earth. What? Fill the earth with gravel? No. Doesn't mean fill the earth. Fill the earth. Take over the earth. and subdue it. There it is. Subdue the earth, all right, for good, not for evil, you know. And moving on here, have dominion. Have dominion. Have the dominion. And we've had the dominion. We've been taking dominion, but in the wrong way. And if anybody should have dominion over this earth, should be the church. The church, the body of Christ. Body of Christ. Who's Christ? The second Adam, right? As Jesus had dominion. Wow. You want to see Jesus having dominion over the earth on this planet? Read the four Gospels. Whew. All right. Okay. Another key word here is the word blessed. This is a big word. Don't have time to get into it. But this word blessed, I wrote here, this word blessed is a word denoting empowerment. Empowerment. And it brings me, I'm sure, there it is right there. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has blessed us. He's already blessed us. Don't go looking for blessings. Don't bring your tithes and your begging and your bawling and your squallings to God and all your good works to God, because He's already blessed you. What you got to do is you got to renew your mind to what God has already done. Position. It's called a place called done. Okay. So anyhow. So, God, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God, okay, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, the last Adam, the second Adam, right? So note, this verse, 1:3, Ephesians 1:3, this verse connects us back to the original creation, okay? That's how you get the original creation, the first two chapters of Genesis connecting you with the New Testament, specifically post-cross, not pre-cross, post-cross, what took place at the cross, but specifically after the cross. That's when the church comes in, right? So, all right. So, yeah. So this notice connects us with the Garden of Eden before the fall of man with the new creation, the recreation, which is found in Titus 3:5, which we don't have time to get into. I've taught a lot on that. Titus 3:5 regarding regeneration. So here we've got this other word, blessed, New Testament word here. And this word blessed is also the word denoting empowerment. So both have the idea of empowerment. What God blessed Adam and Eve with back in the garden is the very same blessing that we're blessed with in the new creation. Same one, original creation, new creation, okay? I hope you guys get a hold of this one day, all right? It's going to set you free. It's going to set the church free from living as, we don't even live up to the Old Testament, for crying out loud. We're not even near walking in what some of these Old Testament saints walked in. And we should be. We should be walking in greater things than that. You know? So Genesis, let's move on here. Genesis 2:8-9. We got that. All right. And the Lord God planted a garden towards the east in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed in his own image, all right? So the note here is the word garden in this context denote the home, homeland, dwelling place, provision, resources, and protection. Protection. I'm just going to mention this homeland security, which they have in the United States. Of course, every nation has their homeland security. But there's a reason why I mentioned the word homeland security, because of what God told Adam to do. He told him to protect, to guard the garden. So let's move into this here. The word Eden, I just put it up. We don't have time to get into that. Got to move on here. We're only on page 3, and I got 9 pages to get through. So we got the word Eden. That's a key word there. The word Eden is very, it's the Garden of Eden. It's not the garden of whatever. I don't know whatever name he could have used. It's the garden specifically of Eden, okay? So note here, God is the one that planted the garden, as well as the one who formed man for the garden. Okay, so God is the creator of both, the garden and man. Of course, the universe, planet Earth, everything. God is the planter. All right, I wrote this here in my note here. God is not only a planter, but he is the planter, as well as the former. The former, form things, right? Create things, right? The garden was made specifically by God himself, but for man to dwell in, all right? And we're back in the garden, All right, we are back in the garden, not physically, but we are back in that garden and that tree of life there. And I tell you, when the Lord gave me that revelation, I taught on this, and Omimi, the more you walk by faith, Pierre, the more you eat from the right tree, you eat from the tree of life. And then when you walk by sight, which is what Adam did, right? He walked by sight, he ate from the wrong tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all right? So I don't want to eat from that tree anymore. I'm still eating from it here and there, but I'm learning how to eat more from the tree of life, which is the walk of faith. Okay, so here I wrote here, note, the tree of life and not the tree of death. All right, so he called it the tree of life for a reason. For a reason. There's a reason for all of this. There's a reason for these words. You know, and that's what I'm big, like now that God got me into the Bible like never before, especially since 2007, there's a reason for every word, almost every, well, there is, there's a reason for it, you know? And that's why I love doing word studies, you know? I'm going to be doing a lot of this stuff, the upcoming videos for the website and even for the online Bible schools and all that, the notes, a lot of Greek, a lot of revelation, meditating this stuff, you know? Okay, let's move on here. Genesis 2. Genesis 2, 15 to 17. 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden. Put him in the garden. So meaning he made the garden before he made man. He made man outside of the garden by the looks of it, to tend and guard and keep it. So the key words here, where's my drink? Mike, take that. Key words is guard and keep it. Okay, protecting it, denoting warfare because of the serpent. You know, I never saw that before. Until the Lord showed me the warfare. I did a video. We did a video on Memorial Day here in Oshawa. And I did a whole teaching on that. How God prepared man for man. How God prepared his first man for warfare. I taught that. And I just got the revelation not too long before that. That there was warfare even back in the garden. Because of what Lucifer did. So God told them to protect it. But protect it from what? From the bees? From the crocodiles? From the mosquitoes? No, from the serpent, to protect it from the serpent. And he never did. He never did. So guard and keep it. So key words denoting warfare, right? Because of the serpent, right? Okay. So verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden. Every tree. Because it says that God had planted all kinds of trees in the garden, right? Plus he had put the tree of life. Note, freely eat from every tree, including the tree of life. Including from the tree of life. And he told Adam beforehand what to do and what not to do. Going back to the law of sowing and reaping. Okay? Going back to your habits. Going back to, you know, let me see your habits today. I just posted this on Facebook. I'm going to do a teaching for a brother in Pakistan concerning this. You know, what your habits are today determines your future. It's a law of sowing and reaping. What you sow today determines what you're going to reap tomorrow. It's a no-brainer. We do it every day, but we're not conscious enough of what we're sowing today to have a good harvest, right? So the tree of freely eat from every tree, including the tree of life, okay? Not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 17, but, there's always, like my mom says, there's always a but, you know? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity, you shall not eat. He told them, not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He warned them beforehand, but he couldn't do it for him. I teach on this. Well, we still do it. God tells us a lot of things to do, but he won't do it for you. God tells us to fast. God tells us to pray in tongues every day. Fast every day. Not every day, but do big fast. He tells us to meditate the word. He tells us to confess the word, all these things, but he won't do it for you because he's not the one who's got the issues. He's not the one who's got the stronghold. He's not the one who's got to be transformed his own image. You're the one who's got to be transformed his image. Okay, we got to get that straight, okay? We're not little gods. He's God, and we're sons of God. We're children of God until we start walking in our sonship, when we start putting on the new man and put off the old man, all right? All right, let's move on here. Oh, my goodness, this stuff's coming out of me. All right, so God, I wrote here, God gave man a choice. Choice, C-H-O-I-C-E. Choice, meaning he did not tempt man. God did not tempt his own man. The devil tempted man. God gave him a choice. All right? And I don't have time to get into that. All right? He had to give him a choice. He had to choose from something, you know? But he told him what to choose. All right? Like today, he's still telling us what to choose, right? Yeah. Who are you going to choose? Who are you going to serve? You know, who are you going to worship? You know, who are you going to put first? You're going to put me first? You're going to put your family first? You're going to put your wife first? You're going to put your work first? You're going to put money first? That's what Jesus said about mammon. You can't serve God and you can't serve mammon. All right? Mammon is not just money. Mammon is everything of this world. Okay? It's including religion. Okay? All right. Another key verse in the New Testament concerning the original creation with the new creation regarding back, being back in the Garden of Eden is found in, oh, there we go, Titus 3:5. So I didn't even realize I had it on here. Titus 3:5. This is a great verse. He saved us, sozoed us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but because of his own pity and mercy by the cleansing bath of the new birth, regeneration. All right, this word regeneration and renewing. All right, but this word regeneration, I did a huge study here. You guys, I tell you, man, I don't know what you guys do with my notes, but you're going to give an account. You're going to give an account. You believe that? You're going to give an account for watching my notes, for watching these videos, and what you've done with it. You know, a lot of people watch this stuff for entertainment purposes. You know, that's a big mistake, a huge mistake. Oh, my goodness. The church is full of religious entertainment. You know, bad, not good. It's going to show up on that day. So I got this huge word study here for this word regeneration. Okay, I don't have time to get into it. All I know, it's got made up of two words. It's a compound word made up of Palin and Genesis. Ooh, we got the word Genesis in there. All right, let's move on to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the reign of God. All right, Matthew 6:13. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, God's kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. It's not just about the kingdom. It's a kingdom with power and glory. All right. This is a kingdom above every other kingdom. All right. Remember that time where Lucifer, well, fallen Lucifer, the devil, in the wilderness account where he says he took Jesus to this high place and he offered Jesus all these kingdoms. Yeah, right. Jesus is going, yeah, right. That all belongs to me already. I know it's in your hands because that's what the devil said. He said, it's been given over to me. Where word did that, this is in Luke 4, I believe. Where did that take place? Back in the garden, right? So it was given. What the devil said there wasn't a lie. Actually, he said the truth for once. That's what Gary said. And anyhow, but Jesus said, yeah, right. You think I'm going to bow to you to get what belongs to me? Yeah, it belongs to you now. But I'm going to get back when I go to the cross and I'm going to give it back to my people. That's exactly what he did. He had to go through what the first Adam went through with the temptation, okay? He had to. He was tested. He was tempted, you know, by the devil back in the garden, right? The first Adam. Now the second Adam had to go through that whole rigmarole, all right, to undo everything that we did back in the garden, how we fell, all right? So Mark 9:1, and Jesus said to them, truly and solemnly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will in no way taste death before they see the kingdom of God come in its power. Man, this kingdom has power, all right? Read the Gospels, read the book of Acts. There's power. If you've got no power in your life, something wrong with you. Don't be looking to God. Look at yourself and compare your life to the life of Jesus. Yeah, because he's our example. He's our pattern, right? He's our elder brother. He's our Lord. He's the head of the church, all right? Luke 9:1-2. Then Jesus called together the 12 and gave them power and authority and over all the demons and to cure diseases. Okay, that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. And he sent them out to announce and preach the kingdom of God and to bring healing. You know, I just heard this yesterday. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm glad I'm on Facebook, but I'll tell you, this guy is a reformed guy, big guy, and very convincing. But he said, apostles not for today. All right. I've heard that before. And maybe at one time, I believed that years ago. And because of what it says in Ephesians 2, where it says the foundation is upon apostles and prophets. He says, Do you ever seen two foundations? He said, there's only one foundation. He's right. But what about Ephesians 4:10-11? God gave us, what did he give us? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Okay? Apostles have not disappeared. Now, we got a lot of false apostles. We got a lot of immature apostles out there. But apostles have not disappeared. And I'll tell you, even I was coming back from Barrie, working in Barrie, Ontario, and I was on the 400. I was getting off. I'll tell you, this is years ago. And it's like today. It's like yesterday. And I was just on the on-ramp, off-ramp, or on-ramp to get onto the 401 traffic. I mean, it was hot, praying in tongues. Had been studying in the book of Acts with Byron, backslidden Pentecostal. And we're studying the book of Acts, reading at lunchtime outside by the garbage bin. I still remember. And the Lord said, this is what he told me. And he said, since there was apostles in the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is still supposed to be written today, where are the apostles today? And back then, I didn't put the two and two together. And I'm going to say right now that God was saying, Pierre, and I've studied apostles, and I know I'm an apostle. There's all kinds of apostles out there, you know, and I know I am one, but I don't go around calling myself an apostle. But I'm extremely apostolic, but I am an apostle. But that's about it. I don't go around. I'm not going to have it on my business cards. Okay? So, anyhow, let's move on here. Matthew 13:11. And he replied to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom. Ooh, this kingdom has secrets and mysteries. I wonder what those mysteries are. Some people are waiting to be in heaven to find out what those mysteries are. Oh, I'm not waiting to get into heaven. I need to know what those mysteries are now. Now, so I can walk in them. All right? Let's go into what it says about those mysteries right here. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, oh, the word of the kingdom, wow, and does not understand it, then the wicked one, oh yeah, there he is again, wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Note, the kingdom of God has words as seeds, okay? Words as seeds. Okay, you got to get that. Words of seed, yet so does the kingdom of darkness. Oh, yeah, the God of this fallen world. He's got his own set of words, okay, and seeds, right? And a lot of people are sowing those words every day, and they're getting a harvest of it. And ultimately, it's a lake of fire, all right? I'm not interested in that kind of harvest. Let's move on here. Mark 4, this is very important here. Mark 4:26-32. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a man or woman, no gender, all right, anthropos, who scatters seed upon the ground. Verse 27, and then he continues sleeping and rising night and day while the seed sprouts and grows and increases, he knows not how. All right, let's move on to 28. The earth produces, acting by itself first, the blade. Oh, there. Then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Okay, not this kind of ear, but this has to do with the ear because that's how you hear words, right? All right, verse 29, and when the grain is ripe and permits, immediately he sends forth the reapers and puts in the sickle because the harvest stands ready. 30, and he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use to illustrate and explain it? Verse 31, it is like a grain of mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? I'll tell you, man, that thing, it looks like a grain of salt or a grain of sand. This thing is so small. Which sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds upon the earth. I never checked that out, but if Jesus said it, I believe it. All right? Jesus is not a liar. 32, yet, after it, the seed, is sown, it grows and becomes the greatest of all garden herbs and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air are able to make their nests and dwell in its shade. Oh, this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. One of my favorite verses, the revelation the Lord gave me. I still remember where I was sitting on my dad's bench back there where I do a lot of my praying. Luke 8:11. Now, the meaning of the parable is this. You got to get a hold of this. The seed is the word of God. Please get a hold of this. If anything, if you don't want to fast, don't fast. You should fast. If you don't want to pray in tongue, you don't believe in tongue, that's fine, but you should. But it got to get a hold of this. The word of God has been given to us in seed form. That means you got to sow it. Okay, I teach this. People still don't get it. You got to sow the word. How do you sow the word? By speaking it, meditating it, looking at it, listening to it. Okay, that's how you sow the word. So you can have a harvest of the word. Please get a hold of that. Okay, note. The parables of the sower, sowing the word of God, is key in walking in the kingdom of God upon this earth. That's why we're not seeing the power of the kingdom, because we're not full of the word of the kingdom. All right? The day we're full of the word of the kingdom is where we're going to see things. We're going to see what we see in the four gospels and some. Okay? I'll tell you, there's all kinds of goodies in there. Walking on water, wine into water, or water into wine. Well, I'm going to turn wine into water if the Lord lets me do that. A lot of great stuff. Feeding thousands of people supernaturally. Okay? Healing, deliverance, massive healings, deliverances. Okay? That's what he wants to do. He still wants to do that. He hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. All right? Last part. Not the least, but the last. I gotta shut up sometime. I didn't even think that I kind of thought this wasn't going to go too good this morning. But you know, every time I get that thought, I realize that I actually do a good teaching. So maybe that's the enemy trying to discourage me. So anyhow, the seated at God's right hand. Okay, this don't have time. Okay, let's just look at some verses here. Okay, and I'm going to do a huge teaching on this. I need more revelation. And he gave me some revelation about a year ago, maybe a little bit more, one day. Anyhow, so Ephesians 1, 19 to 21. 19, and so that you can know and understand what is immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness. This is part of Paul's prayer. And his power in and for us who believe. All right, faith. All right, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. Note, faith and believing what God believes is always the cornerstone or hallmark regarding how we receive from God. Okay, faith is a currency of heaven. Okay, I stole that from, I didn't steal it. I mean, I took it from somebody else. Somebody said, a few people said, I don't know who originated with it, probably God, but it's the currency of heaven. Okay, it's how you receive from heaven is by faith, by believing what the word says in context with rightly divided, you know, in its proper context and all that. Okay, that's how you receive from God. That's how you get saved. That's how you get healed. That's how you prosper. That's how you get delivered. That's how you get strengthened. It's the walk of faith, the law of faith. All right, verse 20, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him, Jesus, at his, God's, right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all rule, power and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which is to come. Now, I remember that night I was sitting on the couch upstairs. I had my legs up and just reading this with Mom. We were in Ephesians that night. And the Lord just connected supernaturally. I had never seen it before. He connected Ephesians 1, 19, 21 with Ephesians 2, 6. And he raised us up together with him. Okay, and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him. So meaning, verse 19, verse 20, right, raised him. So we can put raised us up too. We can put that in there in Ephesians 1:20. And then we're seated where? Far above, verse 21 of Ephesians 1. It's not written in Ephesians 2, 6 or 7. It's not, but it's implied because of what we just read in Ephesians 1. That's what he put together. Pierre, you're not only seated with me, but you're seated above all these things, okay? So if I'm seated above these things, why are these things getting to us? You know, I'm going to share this. Why not? Brother Gabriel, Bishop Gabriel from Busia, he calls me all the time, and I appreciate that. And we do video calls. And I really shared with him about the apostolic, this new platform that I started, the apostolic networking or networking apostolic, whatever. And sending, being a sending church, being a birthing new ministries, stuff like that. And that's what I'm going to be teaching on. But he said he had a dream. And he said, we're walking together in the dream. And we ran into each other. I was in Kenya. And I know I'm coming to Kenya. But anyhow, he said, in the dream, he said, hey, what are you doing here? I didn't know you were here, you know? And then he said, what are you doing here? There's a virus and all that, you know? And the first thing that came out of my mouth, I said, what's that got to do with anything? Like, who cares about that? Something like that. And that's exactly it. We're seated above these things, you know? we're all caught up with these lockdowns. Now, I'm not saying we're going around disobeying government. I still don't know how to walk in the fullness of this. But all in all is we're seated above all this stuff. And this is nothing compared to what's coming on this earth. You know, the chip is on the way, the microchip, you know, and then the mark of the beast is coming, you know, and where you can't buy and sell anything. Well, who cares if you can't buy and sell anything if you don't take the mark? Man, I can have my last piece of bread. I can turn it into, I can have some stones. The devil said, you can turn these stones into bread. You know, the devil's got more revelation of God's supernatural power than we do. Yeah, it's almost the same. It's synonymous with the water into wine or the wine into water. Yeah, God can do that, but he needs your faith. You know, he can, if he can take clean water coming out of the rock and the manna from heaven back in the Old Testament, he can do that for me while I'm here. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that's the way my mind thinks now, you know. So we're seated above these things. All right. We got to get that revelation. We got to walk in that. What's that going to look like? It's going to change everything. It's going to change everything, you know. All right. So Colossians 3:1-4. This is a big verse here. Since then you have been raised with Christ, aim at and seek that are above, those things that are above, which Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we're seated with him, right? We're raised with him. We're seated with him, right? Okay, so set your mind and keep your mind set. Just don't set it on there once in a while. Keep it set on the things that are above and not things that are on the earth. And remember, the Lord one day gave me this. He said, don't just set your mind, Pierre, set your mouth. And keep your mouth set on things that are above and not on the earth. Who you are in Christ, what you are in Christ, what belongs to you in Christ, what I promise you. Keep your mouth, keep speaking that, Pierre, all right? Verse 3, as far as this world is concerned, you have died and your new life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, this virus, I'll tell you, man, I don't even want to talk about it. I ain't going to talk about it. I told Gabriel, I said, he said, yeah, we're going to do, he said, we used to do these outdoor meetings and we had some ceilings before the virus came. So I said, before the virus came, you did all this stuff. He said, yeah, we had healings. I said, is that right? So I said, well, how come you don't have healings anymore? He said, because of the virus. I said, listen to you. Just listen to what you just said. A virus brings sickness, right? He said, yeah. I said, so Jesus going around healing people, right? So you don't think there's viruses back then? Of course, people were getting healed by viruses. So I said, why did you stop? If there's any time we should have healing conferences, it should be now. But we're not, because we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are, what we are. We don't know what belongs to us in Christ. He said, I never saw it that way before. I said, well, you better start seeing it that way. You know? So anyhow, verse 3, for as far as this world is concerned, you have died. Okay? And your new life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, without Christ, the second Adam, you're not in union with God. That's what connects us with God, is with the second Adam. If you're in union with the first Adam, you're not in union with God. You're not connected with God. And if you're not connected with God, you know what? You're going to be going into the lake of fire. You know, that's not a good thing. So there's two unions, right? There's two atoms, there's two unions, right? So make sure you're in the right union when you die. Note, the very life of Christ is to become my own life. Galatians 2:20 and 4:19, okay? So other key references, we're wrapping it up here. Other key references to being seated at God's right hand. Now, a lot of these references don't have me specifically, us specifically, but every reference like we have in Ephesians 1 that has a reference to being seated with Christ, but there's no reference to us there, but then in 2:6 it does. So every reference to Christ being seated at the right hand of God has us in mind, because he didn't do it for himself, he did it for us, all right, to get us plastered. To get us back into our original position, okay? This place of authority, power, dominion, and strength. Matthew 26:64, Jesus said to him, you have stated the fact more than that. I tell you, you will in the future see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Almighty and coming on the clouds of the sky. So there he is referring to himself, but he has us in mind. Mark 16:19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. He did that for us. Luke 22:69, but hereafter, from this time on, the Son of Man shall be seized. See, son of man, man, mankind, right? Second Adam. Shall be seated at the right hand of God, right hand of the power of God. We're seated there right now. You actually, you know, I'm sitting on a chair right now. I'm on a nice chair, but you know what? I'm seated in two different places. I'm sitting here now, but I'm actually seated in heavenly places right now in Christ Jesus. Yeah, two places, all right? Two citizenships, right? All right, Acts 2:33, right? Is that where we're at? Acts 2:33. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, I'm going to skip through these, exalted at the right hand of God, we have been exalted, all right, at the right hand of God in Christ, okay? Romans 8:34, who is there to condemn us? Will Christ, who died, and rather who was raised from the dead, we were raised with him, who is at the right hand of God actually pleading as he intercedes for us, okay? So we're at the right hand with God. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding, I love this verse, all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You are seated there right now. You have the right to meditate that. You have the right to confess that, to walk in it. Hebrews 8:1. Now, this is the main point of the things we're saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. We're seated there with him. We are seated with him in our union with him. All right. Not my physical body. No, he's there as my representative. All right. Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered man Jesus, the second Adam, had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's right. He did it for us. When he sat down, we sat down. Positionally, the whole human race, everybody. There are people right now that are going to go to hell for eternity. They're actually seated. Positionally, they're actually seated at the right hand of God. I just got to have a little drink here, but we're almost done here. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Many references to being seated in the epistle to the Hebrews. Many references. Last one, last but not the least, 1 Peter 3:22, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. And we are in that place of authority. Did you know that angels are subject to us as long as we are subject to God? Don't go ask. Don't even talk to your angels. People talk to their angels. Don't talk to your angels. Speak the word, right? Psalm 103:20. They hearken to the voice of his word. Okay, Jesus didn't even talk to angels. He said, didn't you not know that I can talk to my Father and he can send all these angels to take me off this cross? See, that's proof right there. We got no business talking to angels. Let them talk to you, absolutely. But you got no business telling angels what to do. Let God tell them what to do as you come in agreement with his word. Okay, last but least, thank you for your time. Thank you for the new contacts, the new Facebook friends. And now I've had a little change of heart. And I'm going to go back to 5,000 friends. And then once I get to 5,000, we're going to be transferring people into our not just the private group. No, not the private, the groups. What do they call again? Home group. No, what do they call? Groups.
Groups, yeah.
Group. Just our groups. Yep. Like the Online Bible School, Unity for Reformation, and Spiritual Giants. Okay? So, as I close all the time, walk habitually. Habitually, not once in a while, habitually walk in the fullness of the grace of God. Amen and shalom.